It is July 7th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Marex is reportedly nearing a $235 million deal to buy the bulk of ED&F Mann's brokerage. This is a complicated relationship, as Marex was once the London arm of Revco that Mann Financial did not buy when it bought Revco to form MF Global. Mann Financial was spun out of Mann Group, which was spun out of ED&F Mann's commodity business when the hedge fund and the commodity business were separated. Confused yet? Bloomberg has the story. The Wall Street Journal has a video of its investigation revealing a secret Russian smuggling network formed to steal Ukrainian grain. Bill Ackman donated $18,000 to the toddler who was orphaned in the Highland Park shooting. The billionaire investor was one of 37,000 people who responded to a GoFundMe campaign to raise $500,000 for the two-year-old whose parents were both killed in the July 4th shooting. The fund ultimately raised more than $2 million in less than 24 hours, Bloomberg reported. ISDA published a commentary by CEO Scott O'Malley titled "Understanding Trading in the EU." It is short and easy. Maybe too easy. John McPartland's employer, the firm Hidden Road, has raised $50 million in a Series A fundraising round led by Castle Island Ventures with participation from Citadel Securities, FTX Ventures, Uncorrelated Ventures, Graycroft, XBTO Hernia Ventures, Wintermute, SLN Capital, Profluent Trading, Coinbase Ventures, Corner Capital, among other investors. The CME Group announced plans to expand its suite of E-mini sector index futures with the addition of six new contracts on August 8th, pending approval from the friendly regulators. The contracts include E-mini S&P Regional Bank Select Industry Futures, E-mini S&P Insurance Select Industry Futures, E-mini S&P Biotechnology Select Industry Futures, E-mini S&P Oil and Gas Exploration and Production Select Industry Futures, E-mini S&P Retail Select Industry Futures, and E-mini Philex Semiconductor Sector Index Futures. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, industry degrees for ESG future. College students see energy transition marginalizing industry. Number of new oil grads seen plunging 83% from 5 years ago. Scott Lindbergh's dream of becoming a petroleum engineer was fueled by childhood drives through Texas oil country, with his energy consultant father passing pump jacks and pipeline hubs that kept the world's biggest economy humming. But after recently graduating with honors from the University of Texas at Austin with a petroleum engineering degree, Lindbergh is turning his back on the oil industry and plans to attend law school instead. His disenchantment is rooted in concern that fossil fuels may not have much of a future, given increasing pressure from politicians, activists, and investors to pivot towards more climate-friendly energy sources. My comment. There's an old story that says when you build something new on a college campus, don't put in the sidewalks until you see where the college kids walk. I think the same thing applies here. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Hong Kong Exchange loses two sustainability veterans, adding to turnover. The city's bourse is seeing a string of executive departures. Hong Kong has ambitions to become a hub for ESG-related business. The Hong Kong Stock Exchange lost two heads leading its green and sustainability initiatives in recent weeks, adding to the bourse's turnover as Hong Kong sees a drain in financial talent. Head of Group Strategy Till Rosar and co-head of Emerging Business Development Julian Martin are leaving Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited to pursue interests outside the company said in emailed statements. Glenda So, co-head of Markets, is leading Hong Kong Exchange's sustainability and climate-related efforts, a spokesman said. My comment, there are new leaders coming, paving new sidewalks, so don't worry. Here's a story from Business Insider. Burnt out on quant trading and Chicago winters, Danny Jakowski quit to invent new pricing models in the stodgy insurance world. To some, it might have seemed like an odd move, leaving jump trading, a premier name in proprietary trading, and joining a startup that didn't even have a name. But Danny Jakowski had his reasons. For one, nearly a decade of Chicago winters had worn on him, and the Maui-raised and Stanford-educated machine learning expert wanted a less bone-chilling climate. More importantly, Jakowski was growing bored with the lucrative but Sisyphean world of quant trading and was itching to tackle something that could have a greater impact on society. You go in every day and you're solving the same problem. You're trying to predict where the price of X will be on a time horizon, Jakowski said. It became just a little stale. My comment, we do miss the testosterone-filled days of the trading floors. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business from Danny Eckert. JW Marriott Chicago heads to auction block. One of the biggest Loop hotels facing COVID-induced financial distress, JW Marriott's trip through foreclosure is nearing an end. The JW Marriott Chicago Hotel is going up for auction this week, a step toward the completion of one of the largest downtown commercial foreclosures since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The 610-room hotel at 151 West Adams is scheduled for a July 8th sheriff's foreclosure sale, according to a notice on the event from the Illinois Foreclosure Listing Service. Cook County judge issued an order of foreclosure in March against the property's owner, a venture of Orlando, Florida-based Estine USA, which defaulted last year on its $203.5 million loan tied to the hotel, court records show. My comment, the Loop hospitality business is not looking so good. Here's another story, this one also from Crane Chicago Business and Greg Hintz. Ken Griffin and J.B. Pritzker's secret meeting, the origin of a political feud. The newly elected governor and the state's richest man met for a secret breakfast 3 years ago. But instead of peace, what followed was 3 years of war. What happened? Was there a way for two of Illinois' richest residents to reach peace and avoid a years-long war, with Governor J.B. Pritzker getting the tax revenue he wanted to run the state and Citadel's Ken Griffin keeping both his residence and his company headquarters in Illinois? Much of the answer to that question lies in what happened at a previously undisclosed one-on-one meeting between the two billionaires in the early days of the Pritzker administration. There are some striking similarities between what the two sides are saying now about the session and some striking differences. On balance, what happened then tells a lot about how a possible understanding of sorts instead became an expensive and nasty all-out feud that has dominated Illinois politics for years. This meeting set the tone. My comment, at least they talked so their million-dollar battle is personal, not imagined. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Michael Lewis, the thing that really works for Trump is the system's rigged. from the Financial Times. Second was, for its fifth time in the top three, was Business Insiders, a hedge fund manager who moved to Miami from Chicago, breaks down the pros and cons of living in the Magic City for employees of Ken Griffin's Citadel, from food to crime to weather. Third was Nodal Exchange and Incubix collaborate to launch first-of-their-kind environmental futures and options from Incubix. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a story from Bloomberg. The U.S. industrial complex is starting to buckle from high power costs. Surging bills are forcing companies to scale back industrial operations, threatening a greater drag on the economy. It is only a matter of time, really. Europe's fertilizer plants, steel mills, and chemical manufacturers were the first to succumb. Massive paper mills, soybean processors, and electronics factories in Asia went dark. Now, soaring natural gas and electricity prices are starting to hit the U.S. industrial complex. On June 22nd, 600 workers at the second largest aluminum mill in America, accounting for 20% of U.S. supply, learned they are losing their jobs because the plant can't afford an electricity tab that's tripled in a matter of months. Century Aluminum Company says it'll idle the Hawesville, Kentucky mill for as long as a year, taking out the biggest of its three U.S. sites. A shutdown like this can take a month as workers carefully swirl the molten metal into storage so it doesn't solidify in pipes and vessels and turn the entire facility into a useless brick. Restarting takes another 6 to 9 months. For this reason, owners don't halt operations unless they've exhausted all other options. Here's another story, also from Bloomberg. A global famine is still an avoidable disaster. Putin's desire to maintain Russia's status as a leading grain exporter gives the U.S. and its allies leverage to try to restore Ukraine's unhindered access to global commodity markets. The EU and the U.S. accuse Russia of creating a global food crisis with its Ukraine invasion. Yale history professor Timothy Snyder even finds ominous historical parallels between the current going-ons and the famine in Ukraine and parts of Russia caused by the Bolshevik collectivization in the early 1930s. Putin has a hunger plan, Snyder recently tweeted. And then here's a press release from the CME Group. CME Group to launch six new E-mini sector index features on August 8th, as previously announced. CME Group, the world's leading derivatives marketplace, announced plans to expand its suite of sector futures with the addition of six new contracts on August 8th, pending regulatory review. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.